Some women get burned by the fire and some women rise from it. Welcome to the Born to Rise Society podcast with Laura Sanzo, where goddesses come to rise and go from survivor mode to creation mode. Are you ready, goddess? Welcome everyone to another episode of the Born to Rise Society podcast with Laura Sanzo. I am your host, Laura Sanzo, and I'm so excited to sit down today with a good friend. Her name is Nicole Starbuck. Nicole wears so many hats. She is so talented. She is an empowerment and expansion expert, a spiritual mentor, a life coach. She's an artist. She's an author of a book called Stress Eyes, which we're going to talk about today. She's a host of her own podcast called Chronically Conscious, and she's a psychic. Nicole, is there any hat that you don't wear?
Well, thanks, Laura, for the warm introduction, and I'm so excited to be here. And you know, I've always just considered myself to be multi-passionate, and I've stopped trying to fit in a box, and I just go with the flow and do whatever feels good and whatever's on my heart to share.
And this is it. That's why when I was thinking about, you know, the women that I want to have on this podcast, because it's such a new podcast, you came to mind very quickly, because I have to say, you are just so vulnerable when you're sharing on social media and you're doing it from a place of really serving others. And, you know, I really admire that, because, you know, social media is kind of a place where people put their highlight reels and, you know, a kind of like a face on, and you don't, and you really do that as a servant leader. And so that really is what resonates with me. You don't hold anything back as long as it can serve somebody you share. So I'm so excited to get into everything today. So on another podcast, you had shared that what nearly dying had taught you about alignment. So this podcast is really about women who are ready to rise. So can you share a little bit about what that journey to rising looked like for you?
Yeah, and I would love to say it was this like instantaneous rise, but of course, personal growth is a process. Spiritual development is a process. And just in a nutshell, I grew up in a lower middle class home where there was a lot of financial pressure. So I developed perfectionism and this desire to do really, really well so that I wouldn't be a burden to my parents or anyone else. And I just thought, you know, go to school, get good grades, get a good job, everything will be fine, which is what I did. Got straight A's through high school, was valedictorian, top of my class, got a really, really good, or good meaning well-paying job out of college. And just found out very, very quickly that that was not aligned for me. It really brought to the surface a lot of stress and anxiety for me, resulting in some deep, deep depression and other physical illnesses. And, you know, from there, that's what my book Stress Eyes is about, was that experience of trying to follow the quote American dream instead of my dream. And then since then, I've been able to really tune into myself, find my heart's desires, and then pursue that to find true peace and true fulfillment.
I love that. Another quote that you have said that I love: as I made my peace with the situation, I realized it was okay to be blocked. Making peace with the blockage was the key to unlocking it. So what would be your advice for someone, you know, on how to make peace with a blockage and how to overcome it? Because that in itself is so powerful.
Yeah, I believe that pain has a purpose. Everything that we experience is trying to tell us something, especially if it's in our body or our mind, like anxiety or depression. People with mental health issues can sometimes feel like there's something wrong with them, or they fear the fear. They fear the anxiety. They fear feeling depressed. And these are just signs. These are just your body's way of talking to you. So just get curious about it. Just try and understand where that's coming from. And once you can kind of feel into it and feel where it's coming from, then you have the power to do something about it.
I love that. I'm going to stay on there for a minute, because it was actually something I was going to ask you, because an opportunity for myself to be vulnerable. Earlier this year, in January, way before COVID, I experienced my first panic attack, even though then I didn't even know that is what I was experiencing. I thought I was dying. And I'm not somebody that, you know, ever had to see a doctor for anxiety. So it was very new for me. And I love what you just said, because there was a lot of fear around it, obviously, because it was a new experience for me. But I have so much gratitude for it, because I believe the same as you, is that, you know, it's kind of like our body talking to us. So as yourself, as somebody that, you know, has said that you suffered from anxiety and panic for years, just a brief kind of overview, though I'm sure it's not going to be easy to just do a brief overview, but how did you go from, you know, anxiety and panic to what you say is now like peace and tranquility?
It wasn't on my own. I had a lot of people come into my life at exactly the right moments to guide me on this journey towards, you know, shifting from anxious to aligned, right? And some of those people were people that I already knew, like my husband helping me, guiding me, helping me to remain calm. I connected with some other spiritual mentors later on in my journey that showed me bits and pieces about tuning into your intuition, aligning with your higher self, connecting to divine source energy, and all that. And along the way, what I've really come to discover is, you know, we talked about just a moment ago, these symptoms, these signals being warning signs, your body's way of talking to you. And I also believe that these are also signs of like awakening, especially spiritual awakening. And for someone that's suffered from anxiety, now looking back, I can see that I would worry about things that I thought would happen. And now, you know, coming into my psychic abilities and really knowing a lot more about intuitive gifts, it's that, but we don't know how to deal with that. We see glimpses of things that could happen, and we feel powerless to do anything about them. It creates more fear and anxiety versus just trusting that things are going to occur the way that they're supposed to occur.
And I love that you say that. A couple of things. So first, you have like the most calming energy.
Thank you.
Because I consider myself somewhat of an empath as I do more of this work. And so you just have like the most calming energy. And it's not even just about the tone of your voice. It's just like I could like sense that energy even just through technology. And I love that you said that about the awakening, because it's funny that you said that, because I had a Reiki session less than a month ago, I would say. And that's what the Reiki master had said, that, you know, what I'm experiencing this year, I'm having an awakening. So bang on there, 100%. I love that. Something else that really resonated with me that you had said, I didn't see myself as worthy of love and affection. I filled the void with toxic relationships, meaningless sex, just to try and find something other than emptiness. And I love this because I was, you know, single for a long period of time later in life. And so I was surrounded with women my same age, and I, you know, saw women kind of in this same pattern. And I can, you know, I can resonate with this because I found myself in that same pattern, just kind of like, you know, just looking onto others to fill things that we could have been filling ourselves. So what would be a piece of advice for, you know, any woman that is finding them in this space and how they can break that chain?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I just so appreciate your willingness to share and your vulnerability. And I can see we have a lot of common threads here. And I think it speaks to what you're saying, that larger experience of not just us as individuals, but women as whole, women as a collective, the divine feminine consciousness. And I would say so much of our society has told us that it's not okay to feel, that our feelings are invalid, or we need to buck up, we need to suck it up, we need to be stronger, we need to be more forceful or more aggressive, or in a lot of cases, more masculine. And we've shied away from really feeling into that divine feminine and really honoring those feelings. Like, not to say that we should allow our feelings to control us, right? Like, if we have an anxious thought, we don't want to let that get carried away and like go down that panic attack hole, right? But just trying to understand ourselves and give grace to ourselves that it's okay to feel the feels. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to be happy. It's okay to be angry. These are all perfectly normal and valid feelings.
I love that. So this is kind of a selfish question to ask because I'm just sincerely curious. What is your favorite oracle deck? And I'm kind of new to pulling. I pull as part of my morning ritual or morning routine. What would be your advice to somebody that, you know, is kind of like interested in it and not sure how to incorporate it in their you know, daily practices?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked this question. And I've changed location so I can go look at all my decks. But I am really partial to Rebecca Campbell's work. And she does a lot of work with Danielle Noel, who is a beautiful illustrator. So anything by them, when they're working together, I love. Anything they do separately, I love. My very first deck was a tarot deck, and that is Matthew Hughes's Ethereal Visions illuminated tarot deck. It has some gold gilding on it. It's gorgeous, done in the Art Nouveau style. I love it. My very first oracle deck was Work Your Light by Rebecca Campbell and Danielle Noel.
Love it.
Oh, I love those.
I'm going to go.
Yeah, and I would say, and there's no right or wrong. Like, you just go wherever you feel you need to go. You can shop on Amazon. You can go to a local shop and just pick the one that you like, just because it's pretty, or just because you like the message, or just because, you know, it speaks to you or vibrates or resonates with you. It doesn't really matter which deck you pick. They're all different. Some are going to resonate with you, some aren't. It's more about the willingness to be open to whatever it is the universe is trying to reveal to you through that deck.
I love that. So you had mentioned that you are a recovering perfectionist and former people pleaser. So you had touched upon this, but just a little bit more if you can. Like, how do you go from that to this like calm kind of like surreal like Zen energy?
Practice, practice, practice. I share in one of my blog posts my tricks for recovering from perfectionism. And I remember distinctly reorganizing the dishwasher because it had to be done a certain way. I thought in my head it had to be done a certain way. And then I realized this is stupid. I'm spending 5, 10, 15 minutes rearranging everything unnecessarily. And so I would practice not putting things back a certain way. I would practice not color categorizing my clothing, you know, from the rainbow. I would practice leaving something out versus putting it away right away. Just little things like that. And then over time, you come to realize how you can let go, not just of that physical perfectionism, right? How things look, how things appear, but also, you know, how you behave and the expectation of other people to be perfect as well. You can let go of that as well.
Love that. What would be your advice? You had talked about this in one of your posts that, you know, at a point of your life, you were, you know, juggling, you know, various things. You had mentioned this and alluding to, you know, following the status quo and what is expected of us. So what would be your advice for, you know, any woman that is listening and in that place right now where she's either, you know, juggling a career, business, being a mom or a parent, or even just a partner and, you know, trying to find some time for herself? What would be even just one piece of advice that you would give that woman that's going to listen to this?
My number one piece of advice would be to identify your core values, to know what it is that you believe in and what you're willing to stand up for, and then use that as a filter for everything else. Because as women, especially, we're nurturers, right? We want to care for everyone else. We want to take care of everything. We have this supermom complex, superman complex that we have to like do it all, right? And especially now with social media, we see other women seemingly doing all the things that we feel like we have to do all the things. And then we feel like a failure if we don't. But the problem with that is that we do all these things. We spread ourselves too thin that we end up not having any time for ourselves. We end up giving everybody leftovers, just these like half-assed versions of ourselves that aren't really fully committed or fully present. And so what I mean by core values is, what are your top 5 non-negotiables? Things that don't change no matter what. And I think in today's society, it's so busy, hustle and bustle, that we get confused. We think, well, I have to check my email. That's a priority. That's important to me. I have to go to work. That's a priority. That's important to me. But we miss the point of, like, what would you be willing not only to die for, but to live for? Things that are so important to you that no matter what, they don't change. Like your kids, your spouse or partner, your faith or religion, your dedication to your country, your commitment to your health, physical, mental, emotional. Like, these are things that are like rock solid, never change. And if you can learn to not only decide those, solidify those, but filter your life through those items, you feel empowered to say no. You stop saying yes to all these little things that are draining your energy. And you feel like you can say no, you can set boundaries, and then your time just opens up to where you can invest more in yourself and invest in the things that are actually important to you.
I love that, because there's such a strong correlation between that and mental disease, right?
It's true. So, mm-hmm.
Talk to us about stress eyes.
Yes. So stress eyes, I wrote after quitting my job as an assistant store manager, after what I call my mental breakdown / mental breakup with my old self. before officially getting diagnosed with anxiety disorder and bipolar disorder. So it was right in that kind of interim where I had some time off and I sat down and wrote this. Funnily enough, did not publish it until years later. I guess I just wasn't ready to share it yet, but now it's out. And I just really wanted women, especially, of course, men can read it too, but I wanted people to understand that they're not alone in their struggle. They're not the only ones that deal with this idea of the American dream of this go-getter, have to do it all attitude. And they're not alone in that feeling of feeling anxious and stressed and depressed. And so I wanted to share the raw realness of what it was like going through that, knowing that although I don't share all the details of like where I am now, because that was several years worth more of a journey, that there's hope, right? You're not alone in this journey. You can do it. And then, you know, if they want to connect further with me about getting from point A to point B, of course, that's available to them as well.
You had said that you can heal yourself, and this resonates with me so very much because I'm such a believer and so passionate about mind-body healing. So we are obviously, you know, in a very energetic, imbalanced time in the world right now. And this pandemic is being labeled a pandemic of mental disease. So what would be your top three tips for people that, you know, want to start to go inward for healing versus, you know, anywhere else really?
So many things are coming to mind. So just allowing the right answers, not that there's right or wrong here, but allowing the aligned answers to come through. Number one, if you want to turn inward, you got to tune out the external. Number one, you have to shut off all of the negativity. So that could be the news, right? A lot of people watch the news. It makes them anxious and depressed. Social media, for sure. Delete anything, unfollow anything, remove anything that makes you feel anxious, stressed, depressed, less than, comparing, any of that negative. And this applies also to people, friends, family, coworkers, anyone that is not encouraging and uplifting you needs to go. And it's hard because we're perfectionists. We're people pleasers. We want to make people happy. We want to make everyone around us comfortable, which results in discomfort for ourselves, right? So my number one tip, tune out the noise, tune out the clutter. Number two, if you're going to turn inward, you got to learn how to listen. And that looks different for everybody. Some people like to meditate. Some people go for walks. Some people journal. Some people just sit in silence. Some people listen to music or, you know, dance or do something that makes them feel happy. But you have to find something, anything that allows you to bring in more peace and joy, so that you can open up that channel for receiving what I call divine downloads. Some people call this prayer, right? This idea of tuning in, listening in. You have to be willing and able to tune in and listen in. And then my third tip would be to just find the things that help you with the acute situations, right? So some things that I turn to pretty frequently are things like crystals, cards, essential oils, aromatherapy, right? Massage, meditation, journaling. These are all just tools, right? They can help with the, I guess you would call the acute symptoms, right? You have a headache, you put an oil on it. You're feeling stressed, you go get a massage. But if you're not doing the other two things that I mentioned, if you're not tuning out the negativity, and if you're not creating silence and space for yourself, then you're not really solving the root of the problem, right? You're just treating the symptoms if you're just constantly turning to these other tools.
And I love that because, you know, a lot of people wouldn't even associate any physical symptoms with anything else except for being physical symptoms, right? Mm-hmm. So that's in itself is so powerful. So what's next? What can we expect? I know you work on various projects. What can people expect from you next?
Yes, I love this. So I'm actually preparing for the birth of my first child. My husband and I are expecting a baby girl in December. We're super, super, super excited for that. And so this whole year has been you know, one of amazing changes and transformations and publications with my book coming out, podcast coming out. Now I'm in this season of kind of winding down, slowing down, allowing things that are passive to be passive. And next year, what I'm really looking forward to is sharing how my journey has been enhanced by motherhood and bringing that piece into my work, because I've always felt like I've had very nurturing energy. I've been told I have a very like motherly energy without being a mother myself. And so now I actually get to bring that to my people and serve in an even bigger capacity.
I love that. So before we end, is there anything that is specifically coming to you to share?
Yes, definitely. Thank you for asking. And you had mentioned this earlier, this idea of being an empath, right? And I would just encourage anyone out there that's dealing with physical symptoms, dealing with what they call chronic illness, this, you know, search for answers and nothing seems to be quote unquote wrong, right? Or being told that it's all in their head. Being told it's all in your head is actually a good thing, in my opinion, because it means that you have the power to fix it, right? And if you're dealing with this and you're not really sure what's going on, I would just ask yourself if this could be your awakening. If this could be the universe's way of trying to tell you, hey, you are on the wrong path, let's redirect. Because I really feel like if people were to tune into themselves and not just take pills for anxiety, take pills for depression, although I do believe we should get help for those issues. But if we were to understand that these are signs and signals of us rising above, deepening our consciousness, opening our awareness. If more of us did that, I think the world would be a much different place. I think we'd be more awakened and enlightened and loving and caring, compassionate.
That is so, so, so powerful. Thank you so much. I'm so excited for everyone to listen to this because there's so many nuggets that are going to essentially change people's lives. So thank you so, so much, Nicole. We can't wait to meet little Nicole.
Thank you so much for having me, Laura. I really appreciate you. And again, I can't wait to share this with everyone as well.
Myself as well. Thank you, everyone. We will talk to you next time.